In just the past few years, this has happened to hundreds of kids. A judge said they were free to go, but they stayed locked up in Cook County's juvenile jail because DCFS could not find them a place to live.
I think it sends a very disturbing message to a child to say there's no reason for you to be held in detention, but we're not working hard enough or we're not making you enough of a priority to find a place for you to go.
Bruce Boyer runs Loyola's Child Law Clinic.
We're talking about children that a judge has looked at their case and said, there's no risk here. This child should be either at home or in some sort of a community-based setting. So that's incredibly disruptive to the child.
Antoine Brown remembers that disruption. Brown is 25 now, and he lives in Marion in southern Illinois. But when he was 14 years old, Brown spent about 6 months in Cook County's juvenile jail, waiting for DCFS to find him a bed.
It kind of like crushes your spirit. So you'd be like, I don't care anymore. So I'm just going to act out and do whatever I want to do.
A WBEZ analysis of data from Cook County found that in the 3 years between October of 2011 and October of 2014, there were 344 times when kids waited a week or more in the jail for DCFS to pick them up. More than 1,000 times, kids stayed in the jail at least 2 extra days. Last year, the longest wait was 190 days, more than half the year. The data we have doesn't account for how many of those 344 times involved the same kid being held. But to check on daily counts, we asked jail staff to give us a snapshot of every kid who was waiting to be picked up on one day in October of 2014. We found more than two-thirds of the 19 kids waiting were with DCFS. Boyer says many of the young people forced to wait have been in the childcare system for most of their lives. Often they've been abused or neglected, passed from foster home to foster home. That means most of these young men and women truly have special needs.
These are the needs that really require treatment, whether it's counseling or other kinds of services. And these are the sorts of things that, frankly, are just not available in the detention center.
And Jennifer Volenkatz with the Prison Watchdog John Howard Association says this is a population at a crucial point. The choices they and their caregivers make can determine if these kids move on from a troubled childhood to become successful adults or get stuck in that prison pipeline you hear about.
You know, the system has failed them time and again. So for the system to tell them you're going to get to go and for that not to actually happen, I think is just another indicator that, you know, trusting authority is probably not a safe bet for some of these kids. And that's not a message we want to be giving them.
Beneath the juvenile detention center, on the building's main floor, are the county's juvenile courtrooms. Every week, juvenile court judges do check-ins in court on each DCFS ward who's waiting to get out of the detention center. I watched one of these check-ins for a young man who'd been waiting for a week. By the way, it's been 2 weeks since then, and he's still in there. At the check-in, the attorney for DCFS, Peter Ryan, told the judge they had identified a residential treatment center and they were just waiting for a bed to open up. The judge asked the other attorneys if they had anything to add. They did not. The whole thing took less than 5 minutes. The kid didn't even come down for the hearing. There wouldn't have been any point. Nick Youngblood is an attorney in the Cook County Public Guardian's office. He says judges should be holding DCFS in contempt of court or handing down fines if they leave a kid behind bars.
It's never going to come to the attention of people who can make the bigger changes in terms of resources and structure until something like that would happen.
The judge on the case, Terrence Sharkey, didn't want to be interviewed on tape. He says he doesn't like his own voice, but he is well aware of DCFS kids waiting in the juvenile jail. Judge Sharkey says he does his best to keep pressure on the department, but he's not going to issue an order DCFS can't comply with. He believes the department is doing the best it can. Nick Youngblood says he's heard from judges who worry that if they order the department to place one kid, all that will mean is someone else waits longer.
That's outrageous, in my opinion. The real discussion should be about how we're hurting all of these children and that there's a bigger structural problem that needs to be addressed, and there may be a bigger resource problem that needs to be addressed.
Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner gives his budget address later today. Lots of people are bracing for big spending cuts. DCFS spokesman Andrew Flock told me he doesn't know what's in store for his department, but he says the governor has assured them they will have all the resources they need. Flock says leadership from new director George Sheldon will eventually fix problems like kids languishing in jail. For his part, Loyola's Bruce Boyer says the important thing isn't how much money DCFS has, but the way it's spent.
If we had resources for dealing with kids who get into conflict with the law that would allow us to find placements in the community for them, that would be a lot less expensive than maintaining kids in a very expensive detention facility. And I don't know how you break out of this cycle, but we have to figure out a way to be more farsighted.
Cook County estimates that it costs more than $500 a day to house one person in the juvenile temporary detention center. And all those times kids waited a week or more, they add up to 7,300 days in Cook County Juvenile Jail waiting on DCFS. That's almost $4 million we spent on extra jail time over 3 years. And for all that money, the kids didn't get special counseling or intensive therapy. Instead, they got all the wrong lessons about the justice system and a pretty direct message that they don't matter. At least not enough. I'm Patrick Smith.